It is good to see you and be with you today. And if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. And if you've been away from us and are back, we're glad that you're back. And it's good to be able to spend some time in God's Word this morning. In the scripture reading in John chapter 1, I want us to begin by noticing this morning the question that Jesus asked those two who come, who hear John. John pointed them to Jesus, and they want to come and follow Jesus. I want you to notice the question that he asks them. He doesn't ask them, "Who are you seeking?" Verse 38. He asks, "What are you seeking?" That's important. He doesn't say who. He's not interested right now in a particular person. He's interested in the what. What are you seeking? The question, "What are you seeking?" speaks to purpose. Why are you here? It speaks to any plans that you might have, or any priorities you might have, or your intentions for being here. What are you looking for? What are you hoping to get out of this? So the question I asked this morning is, because that's a great question, when Jesus first began to get followers, and this is the beginning of his followers and his disciples here in John chapter 1, he asks, "What? What are you seeking? What are you hoping to get out of this relationship with me?" So I asked the question this morning, what are you and I seeking in a church? What are you seeking this morning? What are you hoping to get out of your visit here today? What am I looking for? Not who. That's another great question. But what? When you and I come to the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or during the week, during a gospel meeting, what are you hoping to get out of that? I want to talk this morning about what we're looking for in a church. What we're looking for in a particular experience when we come. What are you hoping to get out of this? Well, you might immediately be thinking, well, I've been taught in my life that I'm here to worship God, and that's good. But what else? What other motives do you have? What other purposes or reasons or intentions do you have? Now, when we're young, we're here because our parents bring us. We really don't have a choice. But when we're old enough and have a free will where we're choosing, and especially when we're driving on our own or we're making the choice, we can actually get in a car or not, or we can have somebody pick us up or not, we're making that choice. It does then come down to our purpose or plan. And what is that in your life and what is that in mine? A few years ago, it was really popular for churches in town, not only here, but all across the country and even around the world, to advertise that they were seeker-sensitive churches. Maybe you've seen that. I've seen that on billboards before. That such and such church is a seeker-sensitive church. I've seen it in advertisements. You'll see it in the newspaper. Sometimes I've seen it on TV, like in the Nashville area. A certain church in Nashville is seeker-sensitive. What they mean by that is they find out what people are seeking, what they're wanting, and they try as much as possible to provide that for them when they show up. Now, that's going to come either by asking them or by polling them or by getting some sort of a feedback card from them. What are you wanting? And so whatever you're seeking, we are sensitive to that, meaning we're attuned to it. We'll listen to what you're saying and we'll try our best to provide that. And so sometimes the mothers might say, well, could you provide some sort of a playground area for the kids so that when I'm in worshiping, they can be back there in the back playing around. Could you do that? Oh, sure. We'll get that. And then what else do you want? And we're seeker sensitive. We want messages that are less condemning, for example, and maybe more affirming. You'll see this a lot in ads today. I've seen it on billboards and ads that such and such church is an affirming church. We'll talk about that later. We're going to affirm your behavior. Whatever that is, we will affirm it. Well, we would hope that they would draw a line somewhere. I don't know what all behavior are you affirming. But we know some kind of behavior that they're focusing in on, and we're an affirming church, or we're a seeker-sensitive church. Seeking is not the issue. We're going to see at the close of this lesson that we all need to be seeking. God wants us to be seeking things. That's not the issue. What we are seeking is the issue. Now remember, John 1:38. What are you seeking? Underscore that. That's the issue. We all need to be seeking, but what is it that we are seeking? What do you want to get out of this service right now, this very moment? What are you wanting to get out of this? We all have in the back of our mind some idea of what we want when we get in the car and we drive to 290 Warfield Boulevard. We have some idea in our mind what we're wanting. What is that? The message this morning is to encourage us to have the what be biblical in what God wants for our lives. You know, there were times in the book of Acts where Christians were wanting to be with other Christians. In Acts chapter 9, if you'll turn with me there, Paul, after he is converted to Christ, he wanted to spend some time with the other Christians there. And Barnabas took him and helped him to join with those other Christians. He wanted to come assemble with them. We find the same thing in Acts 21 when Paul was at Troas, that he wanted to meet with the brethren on the first day of the week to break bread. We find that on his way to Rome, and when he gets into Rome in Acts 28, that he wants to be with the brethren. So in the New Testament, Christians wanted to come and be with other Christians, and sometimes that was on the first day of the week. What was their purpose or motive or plan? What did they want? What were they hoping to get out of that? What were they looking for? And what are we looking for? Sometimes folks will come and they'll say, well, I saw the building and I wanted to stop in, or I heard about the Warfield group, or this or that. There are different reasons why people are here, and I'm glad that all of us are here. I'm so thankful for the presence of all of you. But what are we seeking when we're here? That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Don actually touched on this a little bit when he read in Matthew chapter 6 with regard to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He rebukes the Pharisees there for giving in such a way to be seen of men. That's what they were seeking. Look at me. So that was their motive. And we'll touch on that right now. That some come and are with others for some sort of worldly prestige. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 23 in his scathing rebuke of the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. One of the things that he starts off with is, you people dress up. You want to look a certain way. You want greetings in the marketplace. You want people to call you rabbi. You want everybody to look at you. And that's what they were seeking. Somebody to stroke their ego, you know. So I'm here so that you can see me and fawn all over me. Well, that certainly is the motives of some. And maybe even today, there are those who come together, and that's their purpose. That's not our purpose. We're here to worship God. We're here to learn and grow and love one another as brethren and love God and His Word and learn how to be better. We're not here just to, hey, look at me. We rise above that. We're more mature than that. We're not that shallow and superficial to march in on a weekly basis just simply for somebody to say, hey, look at me. Turn with me to Luke 23 and verse 8. You know, some people will come to a church service for some sort of exciting entertainment. And that's one of the things that has been going on in the denominational world for many years. And that is, when I come in, it's kind of like when I go watch the Preds play or go up here and watch APSU basketball. I'm going to buy a ticket and you entertain me. And there is a place for that. I enjoy those kinds of things from time to time. That's a great, get some wholesome recreation. You pay and you get entertained. And that's why some will even come to a church service. It's about entertainment. And so you'll see, and there's been a change in the religious world on this matter, where these seeker-sensitive churches, you walk in and it's almost like a Hollywood movie production. Do you remember when Jesus was on trial before Herod? Herod didn't want Jesus. Look at Luke 23, verse 8. He didn't want to be with Jesus so that he could learn the truth. The text says he hoped to see some miracle performed. Hey, maybe the guy will make something pop out of this, and maybe he'll change this. And I heard about the water to wine. Let's see if I can get Jesus to do that one again. That would be pretty cool. He wanted to see a miracle. Jesus is on trial for his life, and the guy in charge, the only thing he can think of is, can he entertain me? What a shame that Herod was so shallow that here he is in the presence of the Almighty Son of God. Here would be a great opportunity to get your life right with God, with the divine Son of God, but the only thing you're interested in is, well, maybe the guy will work a miracle. There are some today who that's all they're interested in. Just some sort of entertainment. And when I'm not entertained, I need to go to another church in town because I'm just not feeling it today. You know, the preacher just didn't get up there and, do it right. And the worship leader and the praise team, they didn't just, really get me going. And so, well, I'm going to visit another church in town where they're a little bit more entertaining. Well, we're not going to do that. Because that was not a part of the New Testament worship. Turn with me to John chapter 6. We find another reason why people show up for Jesus. Some, you hate to mention it, but John does. They just show up for the food. And so, Jesus in John 6, 1 through 14, feeds the 5,000. The next day, verse 22, on the morrow, they follow him across the Sea of Galilee there, and they find him again. Verse 24, when the multitude saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Well, that's good. That's awesome, but keep reading. We're going to see what they were seeking. They were seeking Jesus, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, and Jesus had a way of just cutting to the heart of the truth, you seek me not because you saw signs, that was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 the day before, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. They just wanted more food. So he says, work not for the food which perishes, physical bread, but for the food which abides unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him the Father, even God, has sealed. So we're here for the social services. Well, when somebody comes to Warfield Boulevard, they're sorely disappointed because there's not a whole litany of social services. Because that's not the work of the church. And I love food. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that loves food more than I do. And there's a time and place for that, and fun and games and food and all that kind of thing. But that's not what we're seeking when we come to Jesus. You hate to say it, but some people are seeking trouble. I'm looking for a fight. When Paul spoke with Bar-Jesus, or Elymas, the sorcerer, in his first preaching trip from Antioch, he says, you're seeking to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And he sought to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. He didn't want this man, Sergius Paulus, to hear the gospel and to hear the truth. And he was doing all he could to keep that from happening. That's what he was seeking. Some people are just seeking trouble and problems. Of course, we're not going to do that. And yet, there are people who do that. And we're not going to come and figure out some way to seek our own righteousness. How can I make myself right with God by my own plan? The Jews that Paul preached to in Romans 10 in verse 3, they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't want the plan of righteousness that comes in the gospel. They were seeking to establish their own. How can I be right with God based upon my terms? And you know, sometimes people will come to a worship service. And really, in the back of their mind, it's not so much, I'm going to let the gospel change me today. I'm going to let God's word change me today. Often what it is I'm coming and I'm hoping that something will be said or done to validate my own belief about myself so that I can stay where I'm at. We're not going to seek that. But what are you seeking? What am I seeking? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. You know, some people will come and they're seeking human wisdom. And that's really popular today in the denominational world. We're wanting to hear a message that matches with culture. We're hoping the message will live up to the PC, the politically correct message of culture, and I hope the guy gives me the wisdom that is basically prevalent in our world today. What the scientists are saying, and what the professionals are saying, and what the PhDs are saying, what the intellectuals are saying, and those in ivory towers, what they're saying, and what the general populace believes, I'm hoping that there's going to be some message, and they call it contemporary. I hope it's a contemporary message that, you know, is, and basically what it boils down to is, I hope that somebody will give me human wisdom. We don't want that old, dry, dusty, dirty Bible stuff. You know, Jeremiah 6:13, we don't want to seek the old paths, wherein is the right way. We want the contemporary human wisdom of today. Some people are seeking that. You've got to preach it the way it's to be preached in the 21st century. You've got to get up with the times. And so some are looking for that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. The man that had his father's wife, speaking sexually, he was in a great church. He found a church that would give unconditional acceptance. That worked out really well. He was able to live his life, his fornicating life that he wanted. And they were accepting of that. You'll see that today, and you'll see that advertised even today in town. I'll see it from time to time. The such and such Church of Christ where you will be accepted. Well, that's a great thing if we're talking about being accepted on God's terms and being open and loving based upon God's terms. We know what that means. It means that we accept you in your current sin and you don't have to get out of it. That's what that means. And so some are seeking that. Is there a place in town where I can have unconditional acceptance? And you'll find it. You'll pretty much find it. And it wouldn't take too long. But we don't want to be accepted by men and their standard of acceptance. We want to be accepted by God. And He tells us what that standard is in His Word. And we can be accepted by God. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus was accepting of people upon their repentance. He was accepting of all kinds of people that even the smug religious people of His day would not accept. He was accepting of them. He had open arms toward the poor and the widows and the prostitutes and the beggars and the lame and the lepers. He had open arms toward all of them, but they needed to do His will to come and be right with God. And when they did, He was openly accepting of all of them. But no one ever in the New Testament was accepted unconditionally without changing. But that's what people are looking for today. You know, other people, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, they want to come, they're seeking where someone will preach it the way I want to hear it. Paul talks about those with itching ears. They heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. They will turn away from the truth and turn aside into fables. I want it preached the way I want it preached. I'm in an unscriptural marriage, and I really hope the guy will allow me to stay there. I'm in a homosexual marriage. I'm in an unscriptural marriage. I'm this and I'm that. And I'm going to go around town until I find the place where they preach it the way I want it heard. Well, that might make us feel good, but it's not going to make us right with God. And unfortunately, you'll find somebody to preach it the way you want to hear it. Now, years ago, and you go back in time far enough, even among denominations, people were preaching the same thing on those topics, but there is a vast divergence now in our modern culture where people have gone way off and they're not preaching the Bible message. Every once in a while, this happened just a couple of years ago here in town. I got a call from someone, and they were asking about the church. They were in a particular denomination, and they said, the denomination that I'm in has gone way out from what the Bible teaches. I don't feel comfortable in that church anymore. They've gone way out. So, we want to be here to hear what the truth is. Paul says they turn their ears away from the truth. We want to hear the truth. Tell me the truth. And we're in an age today where people don't want to hear just the truth. You know, it's unfortunate, but you look at Diotrephes in 3 John. You know, some people are seeking personal power. This is the place where I can be to rule and reign over others. We're not talking about the elders that watch over a flock and have authority. Hebrews 13, to obey those who have the rule over us. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a one-man show like Diotrephes was. He loved to have the preeminence. And he was going to cast people out of the church. It's a one-man dictatorship. Some people are seeking that. And then, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Some people are seeking no real involvement. I want to be at a place where I really don't have to be involved. I can come. I can sit. Other people will do things, and I go home. And in the New Testament church, we're told that the local church is a body that has members. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, that which every joint supplies, all of us are to be busy doing what we can with our talents to work and worship together. But some want to come where there's no real involvement. Where can I hide out in the crowd? Where can I just be a number or a name on a roster? And so you have Ephesus, for example, in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, they've lost their first love. They're still coming and they're still attending, but there's no real love there. There's no real commitment and service there. I occupy a space on a pew and that's about it. And I've had people tell me here in town that they will go to Life Point or some other big place, and they will say, they've said to me, well, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Rees, I just get lost in the crowd over there. And some people kind of like that. Because we don't have to be giving and active and sign me up for this and put me down for that, and what a great job Eric Jr. did on the scripture reading, right? But I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this, and don't put me down for that. I just want to hang out. And then you've got Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, Sardis. They had a name that they're living, but they're dead. Dead means no activity. So I'm going to be somewhere physically, but I don't want to have any real involvement. And by real involvement, I don't necessarily mean taking a public part up here at the pulpit, but involvement in every aspect of this congregation. And we have a lot of brethren here, and you're to be commended. There's a lot of involvement going on, even behind the scenes. It is very good. And I've witnessed that the last couple of years on these trips that I've been making, and brethren coming to me, they want to be involved. And that is so encouraging. And that's the way it needs to be. Or you've got the lukewarm church of Laodicea in chapter 3 and verse 16. So that's why some people, and what some people are seeking. But as we close this morning, we need to be where we can please God. It's about pleasing God, not men around us. This is not a denominational church. We're not another denomination. We're not a man-made denomination. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. And that's why we're here. That's what we are seeking. Seeking to be pleasing to God. What does God's Word say? And when Paul preached in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he preached to please God and not man. The elders and others here want preaching that is pleasing to God. That means it has to come from His Word. Bible classes that are pleasing to God, it has to come from God's Word. We're here to please God. And the acts, what we call the acts of worship, the singing and the Lord's Supper and the prayers and the giving and the preaching and teaching, all of that has to come from the New Testament. We want to be a New Testament church. We don't want to be a denomination. Because we want to please God. And we need to be where we can hear Jesus clearly and plainly. In the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father says of His Son, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." We need to be where we can hear Jesus plainly. I was in the gospel meeting, as you know, just a few weeks ago in Chicago, and somebody had put a little note up on the pulpit, just a little handwritten note up on the pulpit with some tape around it. Preach Jesus. Yeah, that's right. You need to be where you can be pleasing to God. Number two, you need to be where you can hear the truth, the unadulterated, unvarnished truth. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, the prophet, speaking of Jesus, Peter says that we need to hear Him. You need to be, and I need to be, where we can be active. We just sang the song right before the sermon about the church of the Lord, the Lord's church. We don't want to be a denomination. Those are man-made. Those are not scriptural. They're not authorized. They're not in the New Testament. We want to be the church that Jesus said He would build. Matthew 16, 18, I will build My church. How do we know that we are a part of the Lord's church today when it's named after the name that is found in Scripture? And there were churches of Christ, Romans 16, verse 16. And when the worship is the same as what we find in the New Testament church, and the work is the same, we just simply want to be the Lord's church. That's what we need to be seeking. And we need to simply want to be a Christian. Not a hyphenated Christian, not a Christian with another denominational name attached to it, but just simply Christian. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. In this name. I just want to glorify God. That's what I'm seeking. I just want to bear the name and have the life that glorifies God. It's not going to bring attention to anything made by man. It's simply going to be the church that belongs to Christ and glorifies God. And we can be that. And we can have that in our lives. We're fortunate that the kingdom has spread to such an extent that wherever we're living, we can find a group of New Testament Christians. And even in places where brethren are spread out or where something might not exist, I've known of cases where Christians will move into an area and a local church belonging to Christ will start there. It can be anywhere in the world. And we're seeing doors opened up to different places around the world even today. Where all over the world you can be just simply a New Testament Christian and an active member of the Lord's church. So as we close this morning, I want us to talk in a positive way. We're not going to be seeking those other things that we talked about. We're going to be seeking God. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens preaching to them about the one true God, to give them the information that they needed to have on Him. He's not a wood or idol or stone. He's a living being. He's created all things and He's created mankind that they should seek God if haply they might feel after Him. Why are we here this morning? What are you seeking this morning? I want to find God. What a great thing. What a great thing that is. I want to find God. And the good news, Paul says, He's not far from each one of us. Isn't that great? When I come, before I even get here, Daniel said something about the fall weather that we're having. Even before I get here, I realize the greatness of God and the change of seasons and things that He gives us. But when I'm here and I open up my Bible, I find God. And that's what I'm seeking. I want to be like Him. I'm His child. I want to be like Him. I want my children to be like Him and know about Him in this atheistic, ungodly, skeptical, agnostic, atheistic, secular, humanistic world. I want my children to have a better life than that emptiness. And that's what it is. It's emptiness. I want them to find God. And when we seek Him, Hebrews 11:6, when we seek Him, some versions say diligently seek Him, He will reward us. He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. And we're going to seek Jesus. I love what the angels say on the resurrected morning in Matthew 28, verse 5. You seek Jesus. I love it. He's not here. He's risen. But you go to such and such place and you can find Him. We're here to seek God. We're here to seek Jesus. To seek the Lord, Acts 15:17. That's what's going to make me a better person when I walk out the door. None of that other's going to make me better. The worldly prestige and the exciting entertainment and the social services and the trouble and all that other stuff we talk about, it's not going to make us a better person when we walk out the back door. What will is, while I was here, I was seeking God and I was seeking Jesus. And I'm going to continue doing that on Monday and Tuesday, and I'm going to come back on Sunday night, and I'm going to come back on Wednesday night, and my life's going to be better. And let us always be seeking the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Stop worrying about things involving food, shelter, and clothing. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things, God will take care of you on the food, shelter, and clothing and all of that. Put first the kingdom and His righteousness. The kingdom is people. The kingdom is not just some mystical, nebulous thing out there. The kingdom is people. It's Luke 17. The kingdom is within us. When we let God rule in our hearts through His word and will, we are the kingdom. People are the kingdom. Not a church building, people. And when we seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, not ours, His, then God will take care of these other things. I'm here to learn how to be a better citizen in the kingdom and to help my fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. What can I do for them? How can we help each other go to heaven? That's what I'm seeking. Kingdom citizenship. And that Matthew 6:33 is in three chapters called what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the whole sermon has to do with kingdom citizenship. How to be citizens in God's kingdom. And I'm here, John 5:30, to seek my Father's will. That's what Jesus said. I'm here to seek my Father's will. While I'm sitting here or while I'm standing here, I'm saying, God, what is your will for me? And that will is recorded on the pages of the New Testament. That's what I'm seeking. That's what's fulfilling. That's what's going to make me a better person. That's what's going to make my marriage better and my parenting better and my grandparenting. That's what's going to make me have a better day tomorrow at school and at work and with my neighbors when God's will is working in my life. That's what I'm seeking. And then last of all, let us always be seeking that which is above. Let us always be seeking and having our minds set on heaven above. I'm not opposed to keeping up with the news that's going on the earth. I watch it from time to time. It's informative. But I've got to keep my mind on heaven. And Paul says that to them that by patience, we got to be patient and steadfast and endure even difficult times, seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life. That's what I need to be seeking. Heaven is going to be glorious. Heaven is going to be a place of honor. Heaven is going to be a place of incorruption. It's going to be a place of eternal life. That's what I need to be seeking. And the way I do that is, Colossians 3:1, I set my mind on things that are above. I'm a pilgrim and a sojourner. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up beyond the azure blue. Are we going to keep our minds on that? Abraham and others were seeking a country not their own. Hebrews 11:14. And they were seeking a city that is whose builder and maker is God. So when I'm here, that's what it's all about. It helps me to get through the situations that you're going through in life. Some of you have challenging situations right now in your life, and that's what helps you get through. So this morning, brethren and friends, I wanted to remind us of what we're doing here. The fact that you're here this morning indicates that you have already in your life this great attitude of seeking the right things. You're not looking for these other things that people are looking for. That doesn't interest you. There are places in town where those other things can be found, but that doesn't interest you. What interests you is what the Lord wants you to be looking for. Let's always come seeking God and Jesus. Let's always come seeking His kingdom. Let's always come seeking His will and keeping our minds set on heaven. I look about the world today and I see so many people that they're downtrodden and they're just buried in the muck and mire of this world. Their head is down. They're slumped over, figuratively speaking, if not literally. And that's their life. We come with our heads up, looking upward. That's where we want to go. Do you know that basically when you're like shooting a basketball, throwing a ball, shooting a gun, do you know basically you're going to hit what you're looking at? Did you notice that? If you're looking at that goal and you shoot that basketball, you're likely to hit it. You hit what you're looking at, typically. And if we're constantly looking at heaven and God and Jesus and God's will and the kingdom, that's what we're going to hit. But when our eyes are off on other things, that's what we're going to hit. What are you seeking? A profound question that Jesus asks. He doesn't say who. He says what. And that really does get to the heart of the matter. And if we can help you with that what this morning, if we can help you put on Christ in baptism, let us help you to do that. If we can help you to come back in some way to the Lord, let us help you to do that. Let's go out seeking those things that God would want us to seek, and we will have that reward that He has for us. If we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?